This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Later on, we have Art Griego on how he loves being around kids, and he's not a pervert. Dr. Jim Sadler on Michael Jackson will be with us as well here on the Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler is the guest. Michael Jackson, the singer, is who he's going to be talking about. And also, this hour, I'm going to tell you the nominees in the several categories we have for Dumbass of the Year and how you can determine the winners in each category. That's right. If you go to www.philhendryshow.com, you'll see the various nominees. I don't know if it's up just yet, but it will be, I guarantee you, by the time we go off the air. And you are invited to participate. You will decide the Dumbass of the Year in a variety of categories, including you'll decide the overall winner of our Dumbass of the Year award. Now, the overall Dumbass of the Year award is probably, I guess, like the Best Picture award. It's going to come at the end and all of that baloney. So log on, www.philhendryshow.com. Just log all over it and check it out. Tell us what you think. I do know Janice is printing it off right now, and as soon as she waddles on in here, I will read off to you what the various names are. But I do know that we have in our African-American category, I believe we've got Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant, and Whitney Houston are the three main contenders. In our Caucasian category, Rush Limbaugh, Wesley Clark, and Howard Dean. And you say to yourself, what do you mean dumbass? Well, a dumbass is not necessarily an evil, bad person. It's someone who has blundered so badly they deserve an award. Why Howard Dean, you say? Well, I'll tell you why. How can a guy in today's political climate think he's going to become president of the United States by running on an anti-Iraq war platform?
Well, what are you talking about, Phil? It's entirely possible.
Really? You want to bet me? Anybody got let's say a cool grand? I'll go $1,000 with anybody.
I'm only kidding, Chris. Please don't take any phone calls.
I'm going to go $1,000 with anyone that Howard Dean hasn't got a snowball's chance in Hades, in the nether reaches, to win Presidente of El Estados Unidos. Can you dig that? All right, here they are, folks. Here are the nominees in the various categories for 2003's Dumbass of the Year.
In the African-American division,
Kobe Bryant, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. In the Caucasian division, I actually have some music queued up. I don't know what it is, but it might work. It just might work. Here we go, folks. Nominees in our Dumbass of the Year categories are, beginning in the African-American division, Kobe Bryant, Whitney Houston, and Michael Jackson. All right, yeah. Dumbass of the Year Caucasian division, Howard Dean, Wesley Clark, and Rush Limbaugh. Dumbass of the Year television star division, Ryan Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest is dumb. He don't know what a whole lot of zeros is. That's how dumb he is. Well, there is something about the guy that comes off just dopey, isn't there? I mean, come on. Does that cat even know what he's got? Yeah. It's like asking, did the Beatles know what they had? Bill O'Reilly and Ozzy Osbourne. Dumbass of the Year movie star division. Who are the three dumbbells of the year in the movie business? You gotta say it was Ben Affleck, Sean Penn, and Catherine Zeta-Jones. You talk about a woman that doesn't know how to protect her own self-image. There's Catherine Zeta-Jones. Boy, I mean, she could be the Virgin Mary, and man, she'd crap all over that within 2 weeks. Sean Penn, no, he ain't stupid. He went over at the invite of Saddam Hussein and was seen taking pictures in a hospital just before Iraq got its ass kicked. And I think it was 3 weeks ago he said, presumably Saddam Hussein's no longer in charge. Well, guess what? He ain't, man, because they just caught him. They got him a little holding pen. If you'll pardon the expression, pen. Dumbass of the Year Youth Division. Lee Boyd Malvo, what a dumbbell. Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. If for no other reason, allowing yourself to get talked into lip locking and French kissing Madonna, Britney, has set you back light years. This is, by the way, Doris Day trying to sound black. the four. All right, and then we have male division, Scott Peterson, Saddam Hussein, and Gray Davis. Female division, Dumbass of the Year, Martha Stewart, Courtney Love, and Mary Tyler Moore.
All aboard.
And our overall Dumbass of the Year nominees are Kobe Bryant, Saddam Hussein, Michael Jackson, and Rush Limbaugh. Overall, Dumbass of the Year nominees. So you can vote online at www.philhenryshow.com. Good luck. I feel that I need to say this at the outset. And by the way, we will have, as I say, Art Griego on the show today to talk about how he loves being around children. In fact, he's been in some public toilets where he's been able to make, you know, no, there's nothing improper about his contact with kids, but you meet kids, you meet interesting kids in public restrooms. And Dr. Jim Sadler on the Michael Jackson situation. First, I want to say this. I don't quite know how to say this, and I'm not even sure I might be entirely wrong, but the time has come, and I'm just talking about this city that I live in. It's called Los Angeles, or some call it Los Angeles. It's big. It's getting bigger. And it can't get any bigger because it has no more room. There's no more room. No more room. No more room. There's no more room for cars. There's no more room for people. There's just no more room. There certainly isn't any more room for any jackballs. We've got plenty of them. But as I was trying to get into work this morning, I swung off the 405 freeway, which is a main north-south artery, if you will, along the west side of the city, and I couldn't get three blocks because it was gridlock in the middle of the bloody day. Now, you may say,
well, have you ever been to New York?
Yeah, I've been to New York. I'm not talking about New York. I'm talking about Los Angeles, where we used to have a rush hour. We ain't got a rush hour anymore. We got a rush day. It just never ends. Maybe 3 a.m. Maybe then it's just kind of smooth sailing. I couldn't get three blocks. Took me a half hour. And I looked around me at these people, and I thought, I don't want to feel entitled or anything. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be this way, but I was born and raised here, so I know I got a right to be here. Janice, you're here, what, 2 years? Get out. I'm kidding. You can stay with us. You can live with us, Janice. We love Janice. She's okay, so long as she keeps that Canadian political crap to a minimum. Now, the other thing is, you know, so I know I belong here, but I don't know who the rest of these cats are. Who are they, anyway? I mean, I'm looking around at car after car after car, jackball after jackball, and there are hundreds of thousands of them. And do they all have jobs? Are they all purchasing homes? Are they all part of the tax base? Don't tell me they're all illegal immigrants. I couldn't see a Mexican for miles. I saw a lot of SUVs. I saw a whole lot of, you know, your usual midsize. And I saw the small size. I just saw tons and tons and tons of bloody people. One of the problems, in other words, I think what I'm trying to say here, folks, in all seriousness, in all earnestness, one of the problems the state of California has is that post-World War II, it advertised itself as the place to come. Plenty of jobs, the aerospace industry, the sunshine. I remember how my folks used to lament every New Year's Day they'd have the Rose Bowl game on. It was bright sunshine there in Pasadena, and so we knew that there'd be more snowbirds flying out here to stay. This state cannot absorb any more people. I'm being very honest now. Go away. Get out. You're planning on moving here? Don't do it. I don't mean to be critical. I don't mean to be an individual who wants to quash a dream or two. I'm just telling you, we can't do it anymore. We can't handle it. We can't. First of all, you know the kind of crap we're going through with the economy. Second of all, you know what terms of the jobless rate is. There's no housing. There's no room on the road. There's no room anywhere, for God's sake. You can't get out on a beach anywhere anymore without some fat slob stepping on you. And all the cool beaches that I know about, I can't even talk about anymore. I don't want a whole bunch of people going there. I know a few beaches that I go to that no one goes on. That if you're willing to, accompany me there and you're young and perhaps female, perhaps my wife's out of town, I can tell you where they are, but I don't want to really get into that right now. I just want to say that, you know, you can't really cop to any of the cool stuff anymore because you're afraid that the next jackass that moves here is going to stink that up too. You're right, Pyramid Lake. Now, moving along. It's beautiful over there, isn't it? But I'm telling you, it's just, when's it gonna end? I can't stand it any longer. I'm telling you, I can't stand it. And I ain't leaving. I got a job. I got roots down here. I got my wife. I got a home. I got a mortgage. And the other thing that really, I've got to tell you right now, drives me out of my mind is the fact that we've got one of the greatest university systems in the world, the University of California system. Native-born Californians can't get in there anymore because they need the tuition bread, which they charge to the out-of-staters. So we got more cats going to school to the UC system from out-of-state than kids that graduated from California high schools, which was the full intention of the UC system in the first bloody place. Kid goes to high school. It was a place for the high school graduates of California to go to college. Forget it. My son was born and raised here, went to a high school in California. His dream was to go to Cal Berkeley. He's got fantastic math and science grades, and that's a great math and science school. He can't get in there. You want to know why? And I don't mean to be, see, now you're going to criticize me, but it's just all that, I go see Cal Bear. No, it's fine. I got nothing against that, but Jesus, it's not even those cats. I mean, it's just everywhere. This isn't the place that I grew up. It's a packed, jammed, stinking mess. Too much of everything, man. Too many freaking cars, too many freaking people. No sense of community. No sense of, there's no city sense, no community sense in L.A. Los Angeles has always been that proverbial suburbs in search of a city, all that bull crap, which is fine. But after a while, when you really need people to pull together and they aren't there because the city wasn't structured that way, it makes you want to vomit. I don't see Los Angeles. They just elected a new mayor. I don't know what the hell he's doing. They just elected this mayor, this Han. What's he doing? Has he got his thumb parked up his ass over there? What's he doing? He's combing his hair? I don't know what he's doing. We got a crime problem. We got the chief of police who asked for some more money. He asked for the people of the city of Los Angeles to start to have a little concern and care about what's going on in South Central and some of these other parts of the city that you would otherwise not go to if they were giving away gold doubloons down there. And I hear this guy giving speeches. This guy, Han, hasn't done anything. Nothing. Zero. I don't give a crap. They're probably going to whip out his record on how he changed this and how he changed that. The guy is a blur. The guy is a gray man. He's an empty freaking suit. The new mayor of L.A. We got a chief of police that wanted to do some stuff. He can't do crap because nobody wants to make a move. We got too much of everything. And then they got my big mouth, which we don't need. But I guess we're just going to have to live with it, right? All right. So I'm just blowing that one off, and we'll move on, all right? We'll brighten up your day. Thanks for brightening up mine. Not. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us, a nationally syndicated columnist who has come on the program today to say that she invented hanging a Christmas wreath on the grill of her car. We're talking with her about that on the radio program. When did you first come out to California?
I was out here very early in the late 1960s, early 1970s, about 1968. And I had auditioned for Big Valley, for the part of Audra, and Linda Evans got the part. And to this day, I really admire the gall and the guts that woman had to get the part the way she did.
What did she do?
I don't really want to talk about it, but I can tell you right now, the producers liked me. But still, I came out here with an awful lot of ideas and originality. And when I was a young actress, I would sit in my dressing room, and I would sing a little song that I wrote. And it goes a little something like this. Because of the creativity that I have, I think that's why they loved me. It goes something like this, Phil. One, two, I have to count it down if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
A 1, 2, 3, you got the 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Will you just sing the song, please?
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
You say you wrote this song?
Excuse me, I'm singing.
No, but did you say...
I'm singing.
I'm sorry.
Now I have to start all over again. A 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, I've got to get into the rhythm here, Phil. A 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
What are you going to count up to, 100?
I have to count up to 20. God, GDU, 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 50, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
Okay. Sorry, baby, that just ain't gonna make it, okay?
Well, that's how I did it. I used to do that.
Yeah, that's good. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, thanks to the brain surgeon who called from Toronto and said, hey, this is a show for men. Why didn't you get that chick off of there? Way to figure it out there, Sherlock. 1-800-449-8686. You know, yesterday we had, or the day before, we had Bob Green on, and...
You can count on me. I'll have...
I don't want to hear the song anymore, okay?
Screw you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Anyway, there's Margaret from yesterday, huh? Singing I'll Be Home for Christmas. I'll Be a Homo for Christmas. That's when she was singing in those bars. She wore the tuxedo with the top hat and occasionally gived out kisses to, gived out kisses. What am I talking about? Occasionally planted a schmutz or two on one of the female patrons. You know, she wore the kind of the comfortable slacks. Anyway, Margaret Gray from yesterday's show. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget to check our website, www.philhenryshow.com. At some point during the show, we will post the names of our Dumbass of the Year winners and Dumbass of the Year nominees, I should say, and you'll be able to vote on the winner in each category. Coming up, Art Griego will be talking about the fact that he has an affinity for young children. He's not a pervert, and guys like Michael Jackson just make it worse for him. And Dr. Jim Sadler on the Michael Jackson controversy. You know, Jackson, I guess they've charged him. They say they have 7 specific counts, 2 more having to do with booze. I shouldn't say booze. 2 more having to do with some kind of an intoxicating agent, you know, as in contributing to the delinquency of a minor. If the guy's guilty, then I am wrong. I mean, in other words, I said I thought this thing was based upon the fact that he's a freak show and people want to believe he's a perv. Now, if this guy is coming forward, this DA in Santa Barbara, who I still say is a little, just a little strange, man. I think that guy is real different up there with the PR firm and the press conference. You would have thought he was introducing, Cirque du Soleil or something. Anyway, this guy says he's got the goods. Well, I'll tell you what, if he does, he does. And I'm wrong, man. I'm a wrong mother. Same thing with a copester, man. If they find out that guy... But you want to know something? They can take it. They're big boys. They're big boys. They're public personalities. They're involved in every step of the way, keeping their names up there in lights, keeping their names out in front so that everybody knows who they are. So, you know, if I misjudged Jacoby, if I misjudged you, Michael, I know you guys can suck it up and move on, okay? You guys are all growed up, and you got a whole lot of $100 bills you can lollygag around in when you get home, okay? Along with those 12-year-olds. I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the best of the 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Still ahead on the Phil Hendry Show, a visit from... He is a private pilot who flies commercially occasionally. He also enjoys the company of kids and believes that Michael Jackson has, and people like Michael Jackson have turned him and others into, you know, perverts. When you take a look at these guys, you think automatically they're perverts. So we're going to have Art Griego on with us. We're also going to have on Dr. Jim Sadler. He'll talk more about the Kobe Bryant case and how is it that Kobe's Michael Jackson case, is it that Michael is misunderstood by people? So that will be coming up a little bit later on. I got to get a couple of pieces of information about those two cases out of the way for you. First of all, those hayseeds up in Colorado that are prosecuting this case, you guys keep going the way you're going, you're going to blow that thing right out of the water. You're going to turn that whole thing into just one rolling carnival act. I mean, now they got these teeth. I don't know if you heard the latest. There's a guy up there who's prosecuting the case there in Eagle. And you know, forgive me for calling you a hayseed. I don't mean to be denigrating, but you are. Now, if you want to do the big-time trial, because you don't dig to have them Negroes come through town touching your white women, then you better sure as hell get control over that office you got up there and tell those hicks and hayseeds to knock it off. They're ordering Hang Kobe t-shirts. They're being delivered to the DA's office. The stupid-ass sheriff they got in that town's giving them over. What do you guys think is going on here, man? What is this, another Inherit the Wind or something? Is this the Scopes monkey trial? You got but a bunch of hicks. What are you doing? You selling Haagen-Dazs out in the street and hot dogs? 5 cents for hot dog, go on in and see the courtroom trial. The hell do you think this is? To Kill a Mockingbird? What other movies have I missed? Anyway, you don't hire, I don't give a crap. This guy Hurlbutt, or whatever his name is, says this.
Well, they're certainly not racist.
Let me explain something to you, Junior. You got a guy hanging from a tree having to do with a black man on trial. That evokes lynching. Do you get it? Now, it may not be racist in your neighborhood. It may not be racist in the Wonder Bread and Mayonnaise neck of town, okay? But to the average African-American male, you see a guy hanging from something, it don't feel too good. You want to prejudice this thing right out of the gate before it even gets off the ground, huh? Do you want to give fodder and you want to give... In fact, I'm not even saying that you people are racist, but you're going to have to... Here's the thing that I think people need to understand. This is just my opinion, and you can tell me that I'm a dumbass. That's fine. In fact, we were thinking about nominating me for Dumbass of the Year, African-American Division. No, I'm kidding. Let me explain something. I know you don't think you're racist, but you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Well, how can you say that? Because you have no sensitivity for certain realities. Well, what do you think I'm supposed to do, Mr. Henry? Read every sociology book? No. Just get your ass out into the world and learn something about it. Interact with human beings. Don't tell me you're not a racist and you have no understanding of certain psychologies relative to the reality of race in this country. You got a t-shirt with a guy hanging from it, you dumbass. You give that to a black man, it looks like lynch, okay? Now, as I said, from your neck of the woods where everybody's wearing a nice little checkered sunskirt and they're serving up just oodles and oodles of sun tea, I'm sure it's just the most innocent thing in the world. But from the darker section of town, it don't look too boogie-woogie. Looks like a guy's been hung from a tree, as in lynch, as in black man, don't let the sun go down on you, as in black guy, white girl, get it? God, the last thing you cats need up there is for somebody to misunderstand this as some small town, hick, redneck trial of an innocent black man who looked cross-eyed at some fresh, scrubbed white chick. Do you understand? But you guys up there in Eagle, Colorado, where you're still polishing up the buttons on your shoes and selling the eggs so you can come out to the Rose Parade someday, you guys still don't get it, do you? Because I understand that you're the poor man's veil. Yeah, the boo-hoo, man, the poor man's veil. How about the guy that, he's so poor he ain't even been to Eagle? Jesus. Why do we got to keep talking about this? Why is this country so stupid when it comes to this kind of stuff? Or is it a matter that we're getting better and better just slowly? I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it, but I'm just telling you. I saw this thing last week, and I said, this is one of the things you're going to blow this thing right out of the water. You're going to ruin this whole case, okay? All right, let's get off of Kobe. Because I don't want to, you know, it ain't about race. You know, I really want to believe people when they say it's not about race, but every time I open up a newspaper, here's some new thing about race. Let's get on to Michael. And I say Michael with the greatest of whatever it is. Michael Jackson. His attorney says, brother, you had better be, you know, you think you're going to play it fast and loose with a man's reputation. You're in big, big trouble. Now, his attorney says he's going to fight the charges. Mark Garrigou says, and I'm quoting directly, anybody else who knows anything about the history of these accusers, and he's talking specifically about the mother and the father as well as the DA, anybody knows anything about the history of the investigators and the axes they have to grind know that these charges are not only categorically untrue, but they're driven by two things, money and revenge. Now, that's an interesting word. I don't think he's talking about that sheriff back in 93 that couldn't, or whenever it was, 94, that couldn't pin that, the initial charge. I think he's talking about the mother. I think there's some revenge going on with her, at least according to this guy, Garrigou. And we will prove that, he said. Later he told Larry King that winning the case will send a message to anyone who's considering trying to extort the entertainer. This is going to stick a fork in people who want to do this to Michael Jackson. Hey, why don't you try winning that Scott Peterson trial first, babe, before you start making big fat claims? Because I don't know whether you know it or not, but you know that smell? It smells like Scott Peterson cooking slowly. Yeah. Smelling like a little soup's on. You ought to get that guy off the hook before you start making the big bold claims here about Michael Jackson. Jesus. I bet you Peterson's down in that jail cell right now going, gee, thanks a lot. You're already moving on? Oh, okay. Nice knowing you. So anyway, you know the counts. They state he molested a boy. Child molestation, as I said, is very, very serious, as you know. Everybody knows that. Everywhere you go, people tell you child molestation, really, really serious, really bad. And yes, it is. It's horrible. In fact, I was talking to my good friend, Mr. Pelton, about, is it Jonathan Davis? Lead singer of Korn, who was brutally molested as a child. Brutally. And when you listen to the music of Korn, I want you people to understand, when you listen to Jonathan Davis singing, you hear, I don't know how many years that kid was subjected to, what he was subjected to, but you hear the rage just coming at you, man, like a bucket of hydrochloric acid. You want to know what you're creating when you molest a child? You're creating an enraged adult. And in his case, Mr. Davis hopefully has healed himself because he has broken the cycle where he's not out molesting a kid himself, which is the other sick aspect of all of that. Today's child molester was yesterday's victimized kid. It's funny how society just throws them away. The kid was molested, you know, 20, 30 years ago. He becomes a molester as an adult. He might have had the world's sympathy back then, but today they want to throw him into a bonfire. So, child molestation is a brutal, disgusting, twisted disease. Anybody that inflicts it upon an innocent child should be shot summarily. Dragged out into the street in front of a crowd of people, and as he lays there like an animal, just pumped full of slugs. However, accusing someone of that crime when you are lying or you know they didn't do it, then you ought to be beaten within an inch of your life yourself. Because that man, the stink of that never gets off of someone. And people throw that stuff around. Oh, he's a child molester. Or this guy's this. Or this guy's that. They throw it around as if it's something, well, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. People will forget all about it, huh? People don't forget all about it. It hangs with you for a long, long time. And I think this is what probably this guy, Garrigou, is talking about. He says, look, if you're going to play it fast and loose with a guy, and fortunately for Michael Jackson, he can afford an attorney who can be, you know, going at people with both barrels. What if you poor, some poor slob that doesn't have any money and you got some milquetoast lawyer who threw, well, let's plea bargain the thing out. Plea bargain what? I didn't do anything. Well, you know, they got you, they think you're guilty. Well, I didn't do anything, man. Fight the freaking case. I can't do that. I mean, it's not the climate of the times. The times have changed. Just admit you did it. I didn't do anything, man. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Oh, bullcrap. Now, I don't even believe you.
Well, thanks very much, Mr. Mason. Thanks very much, Mr. Matlock.
It seems to me you're a child molester, and will you get out of here with the... Well, you know, I liked you better when you were the sheriff up in Mayberry. So that's the deal. I don't know who the hell's right, do you? I just know one thing, you call this guy a child molester because he's got a funny-looking nose, man. You better start all over again in the game of life. You better go on back and collect your $200 and start all over again. Just because the guy's got a funny-looking monkey nose doesn't mean that he is a, or whatever kind of nose that is. Where do they pattern that after? You know, usually they'll have a magazine, they'll show you, I'd like to have this nose, maybe it's the nose of, I don't know, whoever, Audrey Hepburn. It looks like he's got the nose of Dr. X. I don't know who that is. You know, a fair, he brought in a magazine, he brought in a wildlife book. Is what. Can I have this kind of structured nose? What are you talking about? It's a ferret's nose. Yeah, it's I like it. Mr. Jackson, I do human beings' noses. I want the ferret nose. Now let's go. I'm paying you big money. Don't make him a sick, twisted bastard. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joe Dickhead's NFL picks coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's go down memory lane here on the Phil Hendry Show. I got a request from a listener by the name of Speegs in Denver. He says, Dear Phil, hey man, you're absolutely the best. Just wanted to ask you if you could go down memory lane with the Siamese twins that were bickering. I'm sure you remember the bit with one of the twins being gay and the other straight. I almost wet my pants during this short but priceless bit. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks. Speegs in Denver. Well, Speegs, here it is. A memory lane from, well, it was actually from earlier this year, February 24th, 2003. Welcome now to Community Focus. Today on Community Focus, we have as our special guests Frank and Al Cordover. They are Siamese twins. They are both 28 years of age. Frank and Al have been joined basically at the waist. You, and let me get the gentleman on the air right now. Is this Frank or Al?
So this is Frank.
And I'm Al.
Okay, I want to ask you, Frank, where are you guys joined?
Essentially, Phil, we share the same lower body.
We have the same lower body.
And that means that our upper bodies are separate.
So if I'm reading this correctly, you basically, the upper torsos with both, you have two arms and your brother Al does?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Do you have the same, but you have two legs?
We are sharing the same lower body, that is correct.
That's correct.
All right, here is my question. I read, and the reason why we had you on, Frank, you are suing your brother.
I am suing my brother, and the reason is I can't take it any longer. I don't mind being a Siamese twin.
Well, that's not true, because you've always complained about it.
No, I've not complained about it.
One at a time, please, gentlemen.
Let me say it. I've not complained about it. What I complain about is his orientation sexually as opposed to mine. That's what I complain about. I've never resented being your brother or being a Siamese twin.
Well, that's a load of crap.
That's not a load of crap.
All right, gentlemen, hold on for a minute. This is the... You're suing your brother. Why?
I'm suing my brother because he's gay.
Al?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of this?
Well, I think it's a violation of my civil rights. I'm a gay man. I enjoy my orientation. I'm out and I'm proud.
Okay. And what are you suing for, Frank? Because he's gay or...
No, because it's an infringement on my lifestyle. Now, let me explain to you one thing. We're Siamese twins.
Yeah.
Okay, and you heard me when I said we share the same lower body.
Okay.
Jesus, this guy's...
Well, I'm sorry, what is to get?
What's to get? He's gay. And he catches.
Oh.
Oh, now he gets it.
Now you get it?
So I gotta sit there on a Friday night in a gay bar, and I'm straight.
Yeah?
My brother picks up somebody. We come home. We're bent over a coffee table, and I've got to chew on a towel.
Well, that's bad. Al, couldn't you have a little, you know, I mean...
What, am I supposed to infringe on my life because of him?
Well, I mean, he's got to endure this.
I told him just to read a, you know, get a good book.
Get a good book.
Well, that is rough.
So I'm suing him. I don't want him to be gay anymore.
Well, you can't sue a guy for being gay. He's going to be gay, and you're straight.
That's right.
Well, what about when you're having sex?
When I'm having sex, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, but I can't stand it.
Okay, so what do you do, Al, since you're gay?
Well, I try to take my mind off of it. I put headphones on and listen to music. But, you know, it's horrific.
It's not as horrific as what I got to put up with. I got to bend over and grease up. What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Sir, you understand we share the same ass. This is what I'm trying...
I get it already. I get it.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, quit making a federal case out of it.
I'm not making a federal case out of it. Like right now, we're in Kmart, okay? And we're walking around and we're looking for a terry cloth robe because he's into that. All I want is a down jacket. I'm going hunting next week.
Well, listen, I hope you guys can figure this out.
Plus, I can't sit down, and yet I can sit down. You see what I'm saying? Because it was a pretty rough night the other night.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's tough for us to sit down. Not me. Well, it is for me.
Well, it's your problem.
My problem? It's your problem, too. It's the same ass. Don't you understand? The same...
All right, gentlemen, I hope you work this problem out. It's been nice talking to you here on Siamese Twins Can Be Fun.
Well, that's the name of it, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was...
Yeah, I thought it was something else, too.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And again, my condolences on the fact that you share the same ass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, that's cushy.
From high atop the Las Vegas Strip, this is Joe Dickhead's MFLP!
I'm the professor. And Joe and I will pick the teams that'll win the National Football League contest today.
The Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium. Who do you like in that football game, Professor?
Well, I think it's probably going to be Atlanta, but then it could be Tampa Bay. But then it could be,
Wait a minute.
I want to talk to Phil. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Get the two... You guys get out of here.
What are you talking about? I paid for this dance.
Get out of here! Turn the music off!
What?
I gotta talk to you about something.
Okay.
You've been doing this Joe Dickhead bit now for, I don't know what it's been, since 9/11, I know, since 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It hasn't been funny for 8 months.
Got nowhere to go with it, huh?
You got nowhere to go with it. Here, I'll do the picks for you. Atlanta will win, New England will win, Baltimore, Carolina, New Orleans, Tennessee, San Diego, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Philadelphia, blah, 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 Minnesota. Okay, there you go.
Thanks a lot. What I call that Joe Dickhead?
Watch it. Watch it.
Okay, that's David Dickhead.
David G. Dickhead.
All right.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Art Griego joins us. Mr. Griego is a... he's a private pilot. You do a lot of things, Art, professionally. But you were also a children's advocate. And you join us on the program today to talk about Michael Jackson. A guy that you think has hurt the work of people who are truly interested in helping kids.
Well, Phil, I personally believe Michael Jackson could be guilty. I'm not ready to judge his guilt or innocence, but I think the guy is highly inappropriate, and what his behavior does is it hurts people such as I who truly respect kids and enjoy their company.
Do you have children?
No, I don't, Phil. I don't have any kids of my own, but that's because I have not yet met the right lady, so hopefully that's in my future. But what I do is I content myself with meeting kids or enjoying an afternoon at places where they like to go.
When you say you're a child's advocate, what do you mean by that? Are you working at shelters?
Not specifically, Phil. What I do is I really just interact with kids on a daily one-on-one basis wherever I go. I like to go places where kids like to go. I like to do the things that kids like to do. I'm perfectly content, for instance, I'll give an example of going to an amusement park where kids are and talking to them and finding out the things that they're interested in.
All right, now what would you say your relationship with kids is? We're not talking Michael Jackson, obviously.
No, Michael Jackson has stepped way over the line with kids. I just enjoy being around them. I enjoy being, if I have an afternoon off, for instance, I'll go over to Disneyland and watch the kids. You know, they have so much fun on the rides. You can overhear some of their conversations. I do carry a camera. I'm a kind of a photo buff. I'll ask them if they don't mind me taking their picture.
Are you by yourself? Or?
Well, it's funny. Being around other adults, like I am most of the time, can really bring a lot of stress. And so when I want to unwind, I go by myself. I'm not uncomfortable with my own company.
We're talking with Art Griego, a self-described kids advocate who says that Michael Jackson's behavior ruins it for people such as himself who truly cares about kids. So you go to Six Flags Magic Mountain, you go to Disneyland, you go to Knott's Berry Farm, and you're going by yourself.
That is correct, yeah. And that's, you know, when you say you're going by yourself, it's not that unusual. I just like going to the parks. Because that way I can have connection to the kids and there isn't an adult there who is interfering with my communication with them. I can go over a couple of days, visit these places, watch the kids. I like the sound of their voices. I like their optimism.
All right, I want to ask you, Art, that, you know, you wanting to be with kids, you say, you know, do you ever get people being a little suspicious of you and thinking that maybe you have bad intentions? You know,
well, I certainly hope not, Phil, because I don't have any bad intentions toward the kids. I just like being around them. I take a camera, get some pictures of the kids. I can tell you that.
And these are kids that you don't know. They're just kids that are at the parks. They're kids that are out.
Well, yeah. When you say I don't know them, I get to know them.
But you didn't start the day out knowing them. You just walk into an amusement park, and there's the kid, and you strike up a conversation.
Well, we'll talk, or I'll get a picture of them. You know, they may not know that I'm there necessarily.
So do you feel that there's adults that think you have bad intention?
Again, I certainly hope there aren't any adults who misunderstand what I'm doing. I just like being around kids and occasionally getting a photograph of them. I can tell you that I am an avid weightlifter, and I run about 5 miles a day, and I'm sure my physical presence, in a way, is a little intimidating to any adult that would want to challenge me and thought that, well, it's... But I can tell you, it's a little bit insulting for somebody to walk up to me and say, do you have bad intentions toward these kids? And you'd understand it if I didn't want to take kindly to that. And I do, like I say, I lift weights. If someone misunderstands and thinks I'm a pervert, for instance, I would suggest they not say anything because I'm not, and it would only get me angry if they... said something to me.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Art Griego. He is, among other things, a private pilot. He is, you just mentioned you're an avid weightlifter. You say that Michael Jackson's behavior toward children has ruined it for people who are true kids advocates, such as yourself. And what do you mean, even if you were a pervert, you wouldn't do anything to hurt a child for life?
Well, the bottom line, Phil, is a lot of these parents are paranoid because of this Michael Jackson and what he's done, and I can assure you that even if I were some kind of a child molester, I would never do anything to a child that would traumatize him for the rest of his life, like what Michael Jackson.
Well, that's what I mean. What do you mean if you were a pervert, you wouldn't do anything to hurt a child for life? I mean, anything you do to a kid in that way will scar him forever.
Look, Mr. Henry, please don't tell me about kids. I've been around them my whole life. I've taken pictures of them at amusement parks. I talk with them. You know, you can be in a restroom. You're waiting for foods. I know kids. There's nothing wrong with when you sense the child needs a hug. You give them a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. So that's not going to traumatize a kid for life. And I'll tell you, the way I see these parents out there acting with the kids need a hug.
All right. So you're walking up to strange kids. And
no, I'm not there. I'm not just walking up.
But look, how long have you been? Have you known the kid before you walk up to him and hug him?
It could be a kid that I just saw. I mean, I don't understand the nature of your question. Again, you have to understand, I lift weights. I am a very imposing presence. I don't know that I'd take kindly to your questions.
All right, I want to ask you this. I mean, I'm not trying to make you angry. You're coming up and hugging a kid and kissing him on the cheek?
That's right. That's nothing that's going to scar a kid for life. I'm just giving the kid the hug because he needs it. And I can tell you that I do sales. I travel a lot. I've been in every restroom, every bathroom you walk into to wash your hands or do your business. There's generally a boy there who has just had an argument with his parents and could use a kiss on the cheek.
Well, I mean, maybe not that bad, but it's that you're kissing the kid in a public bathroom, I guess.
Well, it's the only place where a kid can get away from his nagging mother. I wish you'd get your mind... And really, Phil, you shouldn't assume too much here because, again, physically I am rather intimidating. I've got a 28-inch arm. And
all right, I don't want to get you angry.
But you have to understand, half these kids don't get hugs and kisses from their parents. So that when I see a kid in a public restroom who needs that, I'm going to give it to him, a hug. And if he lets me take his picture, I will. But it doesn't make me a pervert. And
what if a parent asked you to stop doing that? They just didn't like it. Even though it may not be perverted to hug a kid and kiss him on the cheek, what if I, as a parent, told you, please don't do that?
Well, I have to, because I've been asked that, and I respond by saying this. I don't think it's illegal. People, you know, if you misunderstand me, you misunderstand me, but I think I have the right.
No, if I'm a parent, and even though you mean nothing by... coming up to a kid and hugging and kissing him on the cheek, I don't want you to do that.
I understand that.
You're going to still do it?
I believe I have the right to. You can't tell me. And again, I don't want to keep hitting this, but I lift, and as I say, I run 5 miles a day. I have been in a number of bodybuilding competitions. I'd love to meet the guy that comes up to me and tells me I can't do something. So,
am I to believe that you were going to physically intimidate somebody who asked you not to kiss their kid and hug their kid?
No, but I mean, why? Why are you asking me that? A hug and a kiss on the cheek, that's not a pervert. That's a caring adult. I can tell you, Phil, I was in a public toilet 6 months ago, and I met a young guy. His name was Jason. He'd just been told by his dad that he was stupid. And I hugged him, and I kissed that boy for just, you know, about a minute or so, and I just held him. Because that's all he wanted. And people misunderstand my intentions. People misunderstand my intentions. But again, I lift.
I know. You said you have a 28-inch arm.
That's right.
So you're going to kick my rear end?
No, sir. I would not do that. I don't know how many people would actually want to come up and challenge me because I do. As the saying is, I'm ripped.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking here with Art Griego. He's a member of... He calls himself a child advocate. He likes to hang around with kids. He goes to amusement parks by himself, takes pictures of them, talks with them, and occasionally gives them a hug and a kiss, and it's not perverted, and he thinks guys like Michael Jackson make guys like him look bad, although he feels like he can give a kid a hug and a kiss, and even if you're the parent, you have no right to tell him not to because it's not against the law. The part here, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, Chris, he keeps referring to how ripped he is, how he lifts, and who would dare walk up to him and challenge him. I mean, when it comes to my kids, I got to tell you, all that stuff just doesn't matter. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, I have on the line here Art Griego. He is a private pilot, flies commercially at times. You do a lot of things professionally, Art, but you also describe yourself as a child's advocate. And I suppose most of us think of a child's advocate as someone who lobbies Congress or a state legislature, but you simply go out into the world and befriend kids. You think Michael Jackson and what he represents has ruined it for you and men like you?
Without question, Phil, there is no sexual intent in what we do. We just try to, I don't know how do you want to say it, I try to get a picture. And I've been in public toilets across this country and Canada, and I have met some great kids who just want to have someone hug them and kiss them on the cheek, not the lips. There's no sexual contact. And I've got photographs. I wish you could see. It's what I call my friends board at home. I've got a bulletin board with hundreds of photographs of children that I followed.
See, when you say followed, that's the thing that scares me as a parent.
Well, I find it insulting that you'd be scared, because I'm not trying to hurt the children. Okay?
You also say nobody would dare talk to you because you're ripped. So,
well, I'm built. I mean, what do you want me to say?
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is Andy on The Phil Henry Show. Andy, you're with Art Griego. Go ahead.
Yes. I have three children, and my concern is that, we can't just take anyone's word this day and time that they have no ill intention towards the child, And, I mean, it's not because there's not people out there with good intentions or no harm intended.
Yes, sir.
But there are so many who are, and being a stranger, it just does not make it by no means to where a parent can just say, well, okay, this guy says he don't mean no harm.
Well, that's true. So, I can tell you, Andy, I think your concern is well-placed. But as I say, I've been in public restrooms or wherever you meet a lot of the kids.
Definitely not in a public restroom. You just have to understand, as a parent, with you being a stranger, if I walked in there and you was hugging my child like that,
you have to understand, Andy, I don't mean any harm, that's number one. But number two, you're not going to want to take me on.
Another grown adult putting their hands on my child.
Well, yeah.
Without my permission. I'm not going to worry about taking you on. I'm probably going to worry about, what lawyer am I going to hire?
Well, what you're going to sue me for hugging a boy who...
No, I'm probably going to. If I took it to my wife, I'm probably like, shoot you.
The boy ran into...
No. The point is, you shouldn't be putting your hands on someone else's child if they're a stranger to you, and the parent and the child both don't know you.
And I got a question.
If you knew them and had a relationship with their family, then I could understand your concern for them. But just going around hugging anybody's child, I do not understand
shape,
form, or fashion.
Not anybody's child.
Well, why is it a public latrine?
A public latrine is not a place to be going around trying to hug on someone's little boy.
Well, let me say, I have found that public toilets are the best place, because kids go there to retreat from their pain.
I'm not so sure your intentions aren't ill. Is that how you just go around every day in public latrines waiting on little boys?
No, sir, I do not, and I have to say I resent the question.
Wait a minute, Mr. Griego, you have to understand. You meet little boys in public latrines, public toilets, as you say. You're built and ripped.
So that makes me a homosexual, a predatory homosexual, because I take care of my body. Is that it?
No, sir, it doesn't necessarily do that. It is a question, and I thank you very much, Andy, for your call. It's a question that may stand out in a parent's mind as to whether their child is safe or not.
I know how to become a boy or a girl's friend. I know how to relate to them on their level, which is something so many parents can't do. And a public toilet is probably a godsend for so many of these kids, where they can retreat, collect their thoughts, and... perhaps meet someone who understands them and finds them to be, hopes that they understand me. That's the other thing. It's a two-way street. I'm hoping for their understanding as well.
1-800-449-8686. And you say you can bench press 350 pounds, huh?
Yeah. That's not with a hangover. If you.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I'd like to make a comment, I'd like to tell this.
Watch your language.
I apologize. I'm just frustrated. I am a father of six children. I have four boys, two girls. And if there was ever one time somebody, a stranger, would walk into, per se, a boy's room or out of the park and attempt to wrap their arms around my kids, without me knowing them from a long line of family history, in the family, a cousin, something like that. I mean, hell yeah, I'd think that'd be a little bit something out of line.
When was the last time you gave your kids a hug?
Let me see. I'm just to let you know a little bit about myself.
Yes, sir.
I am a long-haul truck driver. I own a business of my own. I am home two nights out of the week. And, buddy, I'll tell you something. I love my kids more than life itself. Well, my wife, my children come first.
Without being
I wrap my arms around my children and tell them how much I appreciate that I am their father and they are my children, that God give them to me.
Well, now, as a trucker, you know, you're familiar with the lavatories there at the rest stops. And what I'm saying is, a lot of times you can make connections with
Wait, hold on for a minute. What, are you talking about picking up guys?
No, sir, I am certainly not. I'm just asking that you know where the restroom
is. Restroom is no place in the world to make any kind of connection, whether it be man, woman, or child.
Couldn't agree more with that.
Well, but the toilet, the public toilet has been so good for this country in terms of people being... I'm sorry?
The public toilet is where you go to relieve yourself of your indigestion, your bladder. There's
right.
no communicational problem, you know.
Right.
You go in there, you don't mess around. You don't wrap your arms around another man and woman's child and give them a hug and a kiss. In my opinion, I'll tell you something, buddy. I don't care how ripped your arms are. I don't care how buff you are. If you was to ever do something like that to one of my kids or anybody in my family that I know of, I would rip your head off.
Well,
and I would not think twice about it.
You haven't seen me, though. And that's one of the things. See, I'll hug a kid, and Mr. Henry asked if people get upset. Well, I wouldn't know because I think a lot of them are just intimidated by how ripped I am.
I can tell by the sound in your voice, you are the farthest thing from being intimidating.
Well, I pulled into the Chevron station off the I-60 just last night, and I met a young man who really needed a hug. And he had the restroom key. And
What is it with toilets? Everybody you meet in a toilet? I mean...
No, sir, most certainly do not.
Well, everything with... Go ahead, Jim.
What I would have to say, there has been a lot of kids that I have seen through my children's school, and that is when you take, and as an adult, you walk up to them, and if it looks like they're having a bad day, that does not give you permission to take and wrap your arms around them inside the lavatory.
What if they're in a public lavatory? That's the whole thing.
Public lavatory or no? We're talking with Art Griego, children's advocate, on how he walks up to a kid and wraps his arms around the kid and gives him a hug if he thinks he needs it, regardless of what the parents think, because he's ripped. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Art Griego joins us, child's advocate. If you're a friend of kids and you think Michael Jackson's giving children advocates a bad name, why are you primarily meeting children in public toilets, as you call it?
Well, Phil, I think you're focusing too much on that. I think the public toilet has really been given a bad name down through the years. It's a place where young people will generally go when they're feeling down, and in a public lavatory, you can make contacts.
Then we're not talking about sex, right?
No, I don't really want to say that again. I'm not.
Well, sir, I'm not accusing you of being a pervert.
Well, you seem to be. And again, I have 25-inch arms. I don't know where else you want me to go with that, because somebody tells me that I'm a pervert, then it's on. And
well, then don't be hugging anybody's kid in a toilet in a public lavatory. Sonia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I have a son that is 12 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want you to know that if he was to walk out of a public restroom and told me that a strange man tried to hug, kiss, or take pictures of him, that person would probably catch a baseball bat to the back of the head when he came out of the store.
Well, now, wait a minute. What did I do that's so bad?
You put your hands on my child. Children have been taught forever.
But if he looks
No, hold on a minute.
What if you just yelled at him and he's depressed?
Well, you know what? You're not going to help that much. You're probably going to scare him.
Well, I
children get in trouble by their parents. That does not mean that they need a stranger putting their hands on them and scaring them and going against what they have been taught all their life growing up.
I can tell you, Sonia, that when I was a young man and I got down, the public toilet at the international airport was a great...
Wait a minute. I can't. This is Phil Hendry, Sonia. I can't keep going down this public toilet place, okay?
Well, the lady said she's going to take a baseball bat to my head.
And your 25-inch arms wouldn't matter.
Well, I got to tell you something, Sonia. Once you get a look at the guns that I've got...
I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed?
You seem more impressed by yourself than anybody else is, so why don't you stick to yourself?
Well, I'm not trying to intimidate anybody, ma'am.
That's all you've said the whole show, though.
Wait a second. I have been threatened with physical violence, and I got to tell you...
carry it through.
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you this. If you swung a bat at the guns that I've got...
You wouldn't see it until it hit you.
Ma'am, if you swung a bat at my guns, I'd break it in
half. I promise you it wouldn't be at your arms.
Well, where are you going to hit me? The head? How tall are you?
Oh, well, I'm tall enough to hit your head.
Well, ma'am, I could tell you, you'd be thrilled to see a Polaroid of me and your son flexing together or whatever because you'd know that the boy is being treated properly.
You know what? My child is treated properly, and he doesn't need strangers coming up to him in the bathroom.
Yeah, wait a minute. What do you mean flexing together?
A lot of times the kids will ask me about weightlifting, and I'll take my shirt off and show them. I mean, it's not... But see,
you take your
like
shirt off in a public bathroom and take pictures with them?
Okay, but to a woman like...
That doesn't sound a little strange to you?
See, your mind is...
No,
is
maybe
really
yours is, maybe your mind's whack.
No, I think your mind is in the gutter, if you're thinking about that.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's the best place for parents to have their minds when it comes to people like you.
So, in other words, just because I take my shirt off and take off another boy's shirt in a public bathroom and we take pictures of each other, that's sexual.
Oh,
yes.
Come on!
Yes.
Come on!
You're sick.
I mean, come on.
No, I don't understand. I really don't.
I really do hope. I hope that real child advocates hear this and hear you.
The boys, I got a picture of the kids holding onto my arms like it's a jungle gym. They're hanging off my arms. That's sexual. I just want to be clear. You guys are saying that is sexual.
You take my child's shirt off in a bathroom, and you wouldn't have to worry about it anymore.
Ma'am, I got a six-pack.
I promise you.
I've got a six-pack.
I got a baseball bat.
You want to rock and roll with me?
What's going to help you?
You want to rock and roll with a guy who's got 25-inch arms?
You know, when it comes to children, Mr. Griego, people...
All right, well, then she'd be sued for hitting me because I happen to be in a bathroom
talking to a kid. Well, you know what? You go to jail for touching my child.
Oh, really? What's the charge?
We can take care of it in jail, huh?
Hugging a kid, huh? Every boy wants to learn how to get a rack like mine, and you can't. You don't like it, so...
No, I don't like you touching my child.
All right, listen, Sonia, good points. 1-800-449-8686. You say, what's the charge? I think it's a form of battery, isn't it?
Oh, my sweet living Christ. So now you're telling me that because I hug a kid, I'm guilty of felonious battery.
I don't know if it's a felony. I don't know if it's a misdemeanor. But I believe that touching someone when they don't want to be touched...
Aha! What do you mean, they? Are you sure you don't mean the parents? Now, Sonia thinks she's going to lie in wait with a baseball bat. When I come walking out of there, okay, with a 30-inch waist, 25-inch guns, I got a six-pack washboard like you wouldn't freaking believe, and she's going to take a swing at my head?
Why the threat of physical violence?
I haven't threatened anybody. People said they're going to take a baseball bat to me.
Here is Chris. Chris, go ahead. Chris?
Art?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, Art?
Yeah.
Sir, I'd like to say that you are a pervert.
Well, I guess the old saying is it takes one to know one, huh?
Taking your clothes off restroom, wanting to flex and take pictures with young kids.
How's that sexual?
Is wrong.
How's that sexual?
I mean, you're sick.
Well,
you're right up there with Michael Jackson.
How's that sick? Taking photographs is sick?
Taking your shirt off in a public restroom with a young child and wanting to take a picture of being half naked, you're sick.
Sir, I'm not half naked. I take the shirt off so the kids can see my guns and my six-pack and my washboard
stomach. Yeah, your guns and your six-packs. We've heard enough about this tonight, all right? Ooh, so you're big enough. You mess with my kid? Yeah, I'm not no bodybuilder, and I'm not nothing, but I'll tell you what, the rage of a father who loves his child will take care of no matter what size of a person you are.
I'm going to take a wild guess here, Chris. You don't have any kids.
I have one. Yes, I do.
And he lives with his mother, right?
Huh?
And he lives with his mother?
No, he lives with me.
Look, my calves are the size of your thighs.
I don't care. I really don't care. Why
that
are you so up on your body? I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
Okay, let me ask you this.
All right.
If you're a child advocate, why don't you join the YMCA, teach basketball?
I'll tell you why.
That's a group activity with kids.
I'll tell you why I don't join the YMCA, because the group, the village people, who were committed homosexuals, sang about the YMCA as a homosexual hospice, and I'll have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Are you homophobic?
No, I just don't want to be identified as a homosexual.
So you're saying that any coach at the YMCA has homosexual
tendencies? That's a horrible discredit to the YMCA. That's a terrible thing that they have to live down for you, who's taken pictures of himself with other kids in a public toilet with his shirt off, saying that they're homosexuals at the YMCA.
Well, that's what the village people said.
No, they didn't say that.
Oh, come on. Young men, if you need to lay down, I'm saying young men, if your finger is...
Listen, the village people is like 30 years ago, okay?
Okay,
I mean,
brown. I like to show these
things
boys...
Things have changed since the village people, I don't know if
I could pull
music,
on...
But...
I'll tell you one of the things that I did, Chris, last summer at a state fair. I pulled an 18-wheeler with my teeth at a strongman contest they had.
Okay, what's that have to do with anything that we're talking about tonight?
Well, some guy comes up to me and calls me a pervert just because I'm taking a picture with a kid in a toilet stall.
If it's my child, yes. I don't get it.
You don't get it. You don't get how a guy would be upset if you're taking a picture. Keep your shirt on in a public toilet. You want to be a kid's advocate, go to work in Sacramento, go to work in Washington.
Hey.
Go to work for the kids, go to work for these kids' resource centers like the My Friend's Place thing that we do.
I'm not into that.
Hey, Art, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Are you in a bathroom and you're talking to you, have you ever had the experience where you're trying to hug a kid and he says, no, don't touch me? Have you had that experience?
Yeah, but I a couple times. I mean, you quickly talk them out of it.
Okay,
I'll say to them the words I'm going to say to you. I say, young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. Young man, because you're in a new town, there's no need to be unhappy. Boom, boom, boom. And then you go, you can make the YMCA thing. And
what, are we dancing now? Is that what we're doing, dancing? What, are you quoting the YMCA lyrics or something?
Hey, Art, let me ask you another question.
There's no place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, you can stay here, and I'm sure you'll find someone to... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Art, let me ask you this. Let's say you're in the bathroom with the kid, and he's saying no, and about that time, two cops walk in, and you got your shirt off, and you're trying to show your guns. What do you think those two cops are going to do to you when that kid's saying no, don't hug me? You're going to jail, brother.
I'm sure they're
going
to look at me and say, good day to you, sir, and wash their hands, take a pee, and leave.
Sorry.
I would say to them, it's fun to stay at the Y.
Oh, shut up. When you're down on your dough and you're looking for someone to... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, FUBAR. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Couple of things. December 23rd, we will be signing autographs and signing and selling our new CD, The Death of Talk Radio. And that will be available at Dave and Buster's. 9 to 11 p.m. December 23rd. Dave and Buster's. Let me see where it is. Where's the address of Dave and Buster's all of a sudden? Is it gone? Anyway, it's in Orange. You know, we have to throw this book out or something. Hello? I can't hear you. When I need the address of Dave and Buster's, I'd appreciate if I could get it within a couple of seconds here, guys, instead of sitting here talking to myself. What?
It's a block in Orange.
That's nice. Let's get a promo book in here that I can read. Let's rip... Here, let me show you something. See this? We don't need that. We don't need that anymore. We don't need that. We need just, you know, stuff that I can read, okay? All right, the 23rd, the block at Orange, wherever that is, okay? Thank you. Now, moving along, we have the Dumbass of the Year Awards to be presented on the 23rd. And if you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, you are going to find the Dumbass of the Year Awards. You'll find a ballot there, and the ballot will tell you who to vote for. It won't tell you who to vote for, but it'll give you a choice of three nominees in each category: African American Division, Caucasian Division, TV Star Division, Movie Star Division, Youth Division, Male Division, Female Division, and then the overall Dumbass of the Year. So go to www.philhenryshow.com and cast your vote. Now, I got to tell you something. You're not going to believe this, but I'm just going to warn you. Your vote is only going to count once. So even though you get the ballot perhaps twice or three times or four times, every time you log on, you may see that ballot, it's only going to count your vote once. And that's as it should be. Also, we're not going to be posting any running totals. If you want to see who wins, if you want to know who the winner is of our Dumbass of the Year contest, then all you have to do is listen to us on the 23rd of December as we roll out the Dumbass of the Year Awards. African American nominees: Kobe Bryant, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. Why Kobe? Why Michael? Well, you know, even if you think the guy's a victim, you know what, dude? No more sleeping with kids. Do you get it? I don't give a crap how innocent you are. Don't sleep with any more kids. Whitney Houston? I think after a while, any woman that hangs around with a slob like Bobby Brown has got to be stupid. Okay. Caucasian Division. Howard Dean, for thinking he's going to beat Bill Clinton. Wesley Clark, for thinking he's going to beat Howard Dean. And Rush Limbaugh, for thinking he's going to beat Dope. Now then, I'm kidding, Rush. That's just a sick, twisted joke as I was reaching. TV Star Division, Ryan Seacrest. Why Ryan Seacrest? Well, he doesn't seem to do anything, does he? He just seems to be very popular and make a lot of money just standing there looking dopey. So I got to believe that Ryan Seacrest is a smart guy, but in many ways just sort of fell into it and came out of it with a rose shoved up his rear end. Bill O'Reilly, why is he a dumbass? Well, let's just take a look at that lawsuit that Fox filed against Al Franken. You need to refer to that to figure out how stupid he is. And Ozzy Osbourne, Ozzy, when you're taking medication for your nerves, when you're taking medication because about three-quarters of your brain resembles dried fruit, don't be getting on an ATV. I know that you're too stupid to figure out for yourself, and maybe somebody at MTV ought to be keeping a leash on you, but dude... All right, Dumbass of the Year nominees, Movie Star Division, Ben Affleck. Why Ben? We think he's a pretty decent actor from what we've been able to see in Good Will Hunting. Everything else has been, huh? But Ben, you had to have been a real brain surgeon, man, to let What's-Her-Face, Fat Ass, get her hands on you and turn you into the GQ Model of the Year. You ain't that, man. And it didn't do your image much good either. Sean Penn is also nominated in our movie star division because Sean Penn is so typical of a movie star. It's almost makes you want to break down, hug a lamppost, and weep for humanity. He went over to Iraq with his family and got pictures of little kids in a hospital so he could make his own mind up. Yeah, you got the real objective tour, didn't you, Penn? You must be stupid. I don't like to think you are, but you must be. And finally, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Why is Catherine Zeta-Jones nominated in the Movie Star Division of Dumbass of the Year? You're suing the National Enquirer. Why? Do you think you're going to beat the National Enquirer? And filing all of those lawsuits, ma'am, only makes you appear to be so self-consumed with your questionable image and your questionable impact, I think you're a little dopey. All right, Dumbass of the Year Youth Division, Lee Boyd Malvo. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's a young, innocent, freshly scrubbed youth. You're still a real jackass to let some adult talk you into turning into a serial killer, okay, pal? Dumbass of the Year Youth Division also has Paris Hilton. And why is that? Because Paris actually thinks she's a movie star. Little does she know, people tune in once a week to watch her look dopey. And then, of course, Dumbass of the Year Youth Division wouldn't be complete without Britney Spears being included. Britney, how did you ever let that skank talk you into lip-locking her? Oh, man. Dumbass of the Year Male Division, Scott Peterson, for one of the sloppiest, stupidest, dopiest, lame-ass excuses of a murder I've ever seen in my life. This guy thinks he's going to get away with that, man. Hey, I got a big wheel of green cheese I just picked up off of the Sea of Tranquility. Saddam Hussein. This guy thought he could go to war with the United States and somehow come out of that. Well, he came out of it all right. Came out of a hole in the ground. Gray Davis. Jesus, man. How can a guy get freaking recalled as governor of the state of California 10 months after getting elected? Female division, Martha Stewart, Courtney Love, Mary Tyler Moore. That's a strain of Mary Tyler Moore because she was in the cast of some Neil Simon play in New York and they fired her because she can't read right. Finally, our overall Dumbass of the Year nominees, Kobe, Saddam, Michael Jackson, Rush Limbaugh. www.philhenryshow.com to vote.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The shocking news of an arrest warrant for Michael Jackson has left us all just a little bit, maybe a little bit breathless. Michael Jackson was sued by a young man's family back in 93 for an allegation of sexual abuse. This is a criminal charge now. And Dr. James Sadler joins us to talk about Michael Jackson, just an increasingly strange man, odd behavior. I don't think we've ever, the entertainment's ever seen the likes of someone like this. What motivates this guy? And I don't know, I don't want to say the guy's guilty, but I guess we all sort of like want, I guess we all want to believe it, don't we?
Well, Phil, I can tell you I don't want to believe it.
Well, when I say I want to believe it, I sense that we all need a resolution to this man, Michael Jackson. There has to be some finishing. This guy is...
Let me interrupt you, Phil. I think I sense the frustration. Michael Jackson, let's understand, was himself abused as a child. Before you want to throw rocks at a man and his behavior, understand that he was himself abused as a child. He had to deal with racism. That's nothing that you've had to deal with or most white people. Michael Jackson had to deal with racism, the jealousy of other performers, his understandable desire to alter his appearance so he could be accepted in the white world, because he knew unless he altered his appearance to be somewhat like a white man, there would never be 100% acceptance in the world of entertainment. The fact that he was left by two wives who betrayed him. Naturally, a man like this will surround himself with the only real friends that understood him. Those are children. Children understood Michael Jackson more than anything, Phil. But this
man has been criminally charged with the molestation. He is alleged to have betrayed the so-called very people that you're talking about. The people that...
Let's keep it right.
No, but these are the people that he supposedly cares so much about.
In his mind, he didn't molest anyone. Let's understand that in the mind of Michael Jackson, he was showing great friendship and care for these children. You see, we sit here in the world of adults, and we're ready to cast our stones. But Michael, in his world, truly believes that what he did with the children was good and right. And there's something that's admirable about that in a world that is so hateful. And that
do you believe that somehow he should be treated differently? You know, that perhaps he shouldn't be charged as the result of all of this?
Phil,
I mean, is that what you're, are you saying that he's somehow above the run-of-the-mill possible alleged child molester?
Phil, when you put everything together in this man's life, his own abuse as a child, the fact that he had to lighten his skin to satisfy the paparazzi, and these two wives of very dubious origin, and his belief that he was caring for these children and not hurting them. Remember, Michael, in his mind, believes he was helping these children, not hurting them. I believe he deserves...
What? Isn't it time this man goes to jail?
I don't think so.
What do you think he needs?
I think he deserves one more chance to try and work through this. Just one more chance.
But he had a chance in 94 or 93. Now he's got this.
I understand that.
Now he has, and this is a criminal charge.
One more chance. Just one more, but only one more. Just, I know he's had two others, but I think one more, and then he can go to jail. But I think we need to understand this is a man who has been tortured, forced to look like a white man, hated by adults because he's so talented. The only friends he could have would be children. And in his mind, he's not molesting them. In his mind, he's being good to them. Now, this man shouldn't go to jail for something he doesn't know is bad. Remember that we have to talk about, do you think it's bad? If you don't think it's bad, then you can't go to jail for it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. I'm Phil Henry. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the shocking news concerning Michael Jackson, the performer. There's an arrest warrant out for him. These are the Santa Barbara County authorities in Santa Barbara, California. There is, at this point, Mr. Jackson's been given an opportunity to surrender himself, according to Santa Barbara Sheriff. We're currently working on Mr. Jackson's surrender with his legal representation. And the child, it's multiple counts of molesting a child, is what we're talking about. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about this, 1-800-449-8686. You believe that Michael Jackson deserves another chance because in his mind he wasn't doing anything bad to these kids, and he himself has been brutalized.
Absolutely. When you put it all together, Phil, I believe he should get one more chance to try and get it right. Talk to him, tell him that you really I don't think anyone's ever explained to him fully. And I recognize, of course, everyone knows child molestation is bad and that it's against the law. But I don't think anyone has really said to him simply, in very simple words, you shouldn't have sex with a child. Why not just say that very simply to him instead of saying, you pervert, you're bad. I understand that you don't think you're hurting them, Michael, I would say to him. But remember, you're dealing with a man-child here. You can't talk to him the way you do other men. Be gentle with him. But there's another side to this. And
be gentle to him. So say to him, so you're saying someone needs to explain to him that molesting children is...
I believe so, because again, you're dealing with an individual who is not like the rest of us. He comes from a completely different world in many ways. You have to approach him very gently, because as I always said, there's another side of this. If, and I don't want to scare you, but if you push someone like Michael Jackson too much, because of this dynamic, they could snap. And now we're talking about serious physical harm to a police officer or another inmate or a prison guard or a member of his own family. Don't push him, because he can hurt someone. And I'm talking about windpipe damage. I'm talking about damage to the eyes. I'm talking about...
Well, wait. Now, you're telling me that Michael Jackson, if told in no uncertain terms he's a child molester, he might go after a prison guard's windpipe?
That is correct, yes, sir. That's why the violence of these people is very well known, but it's often underestimated. Michael Jackson, I think, is an individual who comes from a completely different world than we come from. And the language he speaks is different. It's these people, look at him, he totally looks different. So you give him one more chance explaining that sex with children is wrong, and then I think you'll see some wonderful changes in Mr. Jackson. And you know, remember, three times a charm, Phil, there's an old saying, three times a charm. And I know it's hard to understand, but Michael Jackson may not quite get what we mean when we say child molestation.
And
well, then you explain it to him.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. We need to explain.
But wait a minute. This is a 43 to 45. I don't know how old he is. Well, how old is he? 45? Let's see. I was 17, and I remember when the bubblegum music came out. I was 17 when the Jackson 5 first hit, and he was 13. He's 4 years older than me, or 4 years younger than me. I'm 51. That guy's 47 if he's a day, unless he was younger than 13, huh? 45?
So, remember that Michael Jackson is really a child in a man's body.
But he ought to know that child molestation's wrong.
Yes, but no one has explained that to him.
But at the age of 47? All right, 1-800-449-8686. And again, we don't know whether the guy's guilty.
Well, this is something else. You're treating him like a guilty man.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rhonda on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Hi.
Yes,
I think
ma'am.
That this doctor is an absolute quack. He took his mind. Michael Jackson is a common criminal. He is no different than any other person that's a child molester or a pedophile.
Of course he's different. He's and a man who doesn't know that what he's doing is
wrong. No, he is not different. And to defend him is excusing his behavior. The fact that he's sexually attracted to young children is not okay.
But in his mind,
it doesn't
it's
matter what his mind is.
Fine.
And everyone else... And every other child molester's mind or pedophile's mind, and their mind, what they're doing is also right and just, but it is not okay.
Rhonda.
And by excusing it and saying that in Michael Jackson's mind,
Rhonda,
makes it okay, and you're almost condoning his behavior.
Rhonda, listen to me, please. I understand your outrage perfectly, but I must tell you that Michael Jackson is not like the rest of us. He doesn't come from the same place we come from. Here's a man who's been forced to turn the very color of his skin white so that,
no, that was
people
a choice.
Will...
I am an African-American woman, and I have been discriminated against.
You're
and
a vintage...
Michael Jackson, he made a choice. It would be easier for me if my skin was white and my hair was blonde and I had blue eyes. It would be a lot easier for me.
But,
I make choices every day.
But he needs
has
to.
Made a choice.
In order to be with Elizabeth Taylor, he had to be white. The other thing is...
Are you kidding about that or what? Sammy Davis Jr. Was black. He had a...
You're out of your mind.
No, no.
You're defending this man. You
no, no, no. No, I'm not defending.
You're
I'm saying...
You're using his behavior.
Of course I'm
down
not.
To,
I
we
think...
All,
well,
we
look at the two...
We all have had troubled childhood.
You're
okay?
An African-American woman, correct?
Yes, I
all
am.
Right. Then you can understand very well a black man being betrayed by two white trash wives...
Let me tell you something.
Wait a minute.
Whether
what are you...
a black man, whatever, doesn't matter. We've all been betrayed, no matter what the color is. We all have our own history and our own baggage of being discriminated against and treated cruelly.
Well,
the fact of the matter is, Michael Jackson has made these conscious choices. And whether it's ridiculous that he's a 47-year-old man and he doesn't know that it's not okay to have sex with young boys
well,
or young
I can
children,
tell you this. If you
that's
press,
ridiculous.
Well, I'd like to make the final point. If you press this man too much and he gets into a prison guard situation... He can take the throat right out of a fellow inmate. That's how much these people can turn. And
well,
you're
you know,
saying that Michael...
in any situation, but the fact is
right.
He needs to be behind bars.
Thank you, Rhonda,
he
for your call.
He needs to be off the streets away from young children.
I just...
I'm outraged that you can support him.
I very disagree with you.
All right, hold. Thank you very much, Rhonda. Hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us saying that Michael Jackson's behavior can be understood if we take into consideration the fact that he himself was abused, that he, of course, was the victim of serious racism, so we really have to kind of give him a break there because most of us are white, and before we start judging him, let's remember that we, as white people, put down black people for a long time. I don't know whether that why that should excuse a man of child molestation. He's also said that he was betrayed by two, quote, white trash wives, and so he surrounded himself with the only people he could trust, children. In his mind, he's not sexually molesting them. In his mind, he's just being friendly with them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That the American people did to him.
All right, now that's interesting. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You are accusing the American people of being really the perpetrators of the molestation. If Michael Jackson's guilty...
That is correct.
You say that the American people themselves are just as guilty. Why?
Michael Jackson was forced to retreat into a world of friends and comfort that he knew because of the constant prying into his life by the American people. As such, the American people forced Michael Jackson, if he committed these heinous acts, I think it's very necessary for the American people themselves, for the international fans that Michael Jackson has, to look at themselves and to say, it's possible that I forced this situation. People who are not aware of the dynamic, and again, Michael Jackson is not like us. He has had his face altered. He has had his biochemistry altered to the point where he's much different from the rest of us and may actually respond biochemically differently, you see, which is something else we need to understand. He's like a child with a new puppy when he's with a young child. He doesn't know how to play, so he tries a lot of different ways to play. He didn't know the molestation was wrong, and the American people should be ashamed of themselves for forcing him into fondling a child.
And I think that's an outrageous claim.
Well, Phil, I can tell you, are you, excuse me, but are you a psychiatrist?
No, sir, I am not.
Well, I am, so I don't know where you get...
Well, I just think it's an outrageous claim to say the American people forced Michael Jackson into fondling a kid. First of all, we don't even know if he's guilty.
Well, again, I have to say, are you a doctor?
No, sir, I'm not a doctor.
Well, I'm a doctor, so how are you going to disagree with me when I'm a doctor? And you're not. I have... done studies. It's pretty laughable. You want to go toe-to-toe with me? Is that it? You want to?
No, sir, I don't want to go toe-to-toe. I defer to your education on the matter, but I just outrageous to say that I like Michael Jackson's music. Does that mean I had a hand in help in fondling a kid?
I think so, because of your adulation.
That's nuts!
Because of your adulation. No, you didn't call him up and say, Michael, go fondle a kid. But because you're so interested in him, I'm sure you've talked about him on your show, which has heightened the interest in him, which causes the neurotic response, which causes him to neurotically act out. And this neurosis, or this neurotic acting out, is the molestation of the children.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about Michael Jackson, these charges. And again, they are just charges. They're just allegations of child molestation. Dr. Sadler says that Michael Jackson's a man who isn't aware of what he's doing is wrong. He's a man who himself was abused. He's a man who himself has been the object of abuse. And that the paparazzi and the American people, the international stars, his fame has forced him into the molestations. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm calling from Montana. Yeah, I just, I read a book a few years back about Elvis Presley, and it was called What Happened, and it talked about Elvis and how he went into a reclusive life.
Exactly.
And the thing is, he went into a reclusive life because,
exactly, yes.
For very much the same reason, possibly. But
of course.
It's a course he took, and in his case, he chose drugs. But you know what? He also had women in his life.
But you can see, Bob, how Michael Jackson can be excused.
Absolutely not.
Well, you just got done saying that you understood Elvis. I don't understand.
Elvis took another perversion.
Well, but, sir, I understand that Elvis was white and Michael's black. But that's no reason to excuse Elvis over Michael Jackson.
I'm not excusing either one of them. I'm saying is that they choose their perversion.
Yes, but you would agree that the American people forced Elvis onto the floor of that bathroom every bit as much as they forced Michael Jackson's hand down the pants of that child. And
wait a minute.
Absolutely not.
Wait a minute.
You're sick.
No, sir.
You're sicker, than the rest of them.
No, sir. Didn't you just say to me, as the result of your reading the literature on the subject, that you understood Elvis Presley's reclusion?
Why he became a recluse.
Absolutely.
Pervert. He didn't become a pervert. He became a drug. He became a drug addict.
And I would also say, Dr. Werner Braun has very interesting research on this, the University of Indiana, whereby you find fame can predetermine a perversion. That is, in Michael Jackson's case, a child burns his hand on a stove. Why? Because he doesn't know it's hot. Michael Jackson was inappropriate with a little boy because he doesn't know it's bad. You see? So we can excuse it then.
You see, Bob.
No, Bobby, you know what?
Bobby, you there?
It would be excusable if he didn't understand that there have been. Is it okay then for all the Catholic priests to do what they've done?
Oh, well, I think it's entirely different than a Catholic priest. It would be absurd to believe that a Catholic priest doesn't know that what he's doing is an absolute perversion, given the fact that he has a role as an officer, if you will, in the Catholic hierarchy as well as in the moral hierarchy. So, no. But Michael Jackson is a black kid that he doesn't know anything, and someone fondled him. The American people fondled him, if you want to know, and now he's turning around, you know, turnaround's fair play. See what I'm saying, Bob?
They could have, if they wanted to do something outside of their guidelines,
no kidding.
He could have had women in his life.
Yeah,
he needed sexual satisfaction.
But the idea that the American people forced his hand down the pants of...
Well, Phil, I believe that the American people need to be culpable here, and that not taking responsibility is not healthy. Bob, are you ready to take responsibility? Yes or no?
Absolutely not. For
all right, then you're in denial. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Well, go ahead and laugh.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The American people forced Michael Jackson into these acts by their fandom. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about Michael. Are you in the operating theater, sir?
I'm just off of an operating theater, Phil, here at St. Luke's Hospital in Altadena, California, where, with good fortune, a very dear friend of mine, Bill Fleming, is going to have a new heart valve, and we're very proud. I was in the operating theater earlier. I talked to Dr. Ryan, who's a cardiologist.
So you're in an operating theater now?
I'm looking at my friend right now, and he's doing very well.
We're getting back to Michael Jackson. You have made a statement. Michael Jackson, if he is guilty of molestation, you can blame the American people as much for those molestations as anything due to their racism against black people and due to the fact that they're pressuring him makes him act out neurotically.
That is correct.
I mean, that's a statement that just absolutely takes the responsibility completely off of him. Does he bear any responsibility at all?
I think Michael Jackson is guilty of trust. I think he's guilty of trusting these little kids that he truly wanted to befriend. He brought them to a beautiful home called Neverland, where they could, and yes, sexual molestation is wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I get the feeling you might think that I'm condoning it.
No, I don't.
I really don't, but I want you to know something. I find it equally reprehensible to bring a young person to take advantage of the hospitality of Michael Jackson. And then when it suits him, if Michael Jackson didn't give him a cheeseburger when he wanted one, I believe that this young person is guilty of stabbing Michael Jackson in the back. And that's reprehensible. And
so now it's the kid's fault, it's the American public's fault.
I didn't say that Michael was without blame.
Well, that's you're going there, though, that the little kids are stabbing him in the back.
Well, he's had two children stab him in the back, and all he wanted to do was be their friend.
Well, he sexually, possibly sexually molested them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the Michael Jackson situation. Daniel, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Daniel, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Dan. I'm a truck driver. I listen to a lot of talk shows, and I find it amazing that the
very good, Dan.
I find it amazing that the doctor actually finds excuses for Mike's behavior when the guy is definitely sick. I mean, he's set out.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
He's set. And out of the court 10 years ago for millions of dollars, a guilty man won't handle for millions of dollars if they're not guilty.
Well, I don't say he's not guilty. What I say is he's an innocent. If a flower is guilty of being beautiful,
how can you,
then, huh?
How can you turn around and call his two ex-wives white trash?
Well, look at them.
Do you know them?
I beg your pardon?
Do you know them?
Well, Lisa Marie Presley is well-known trash. I think that...
Wait a minute. How would you mean she's well-known trash?
Well, you said that he was married to two white trash women.
Well, he
was forced to turn himself white. He wasn't forced to turn himself white.
Well, how else was he going to be accepted at cocktail parties at the Elizabeth Taylor house? You see what I'm saying?
Well, when I come back from Vietnam, I was spit at, thrown rocks at. Did I go out and turn around and start shooting all protesters or peace-loving people? I would have had an excuse, according to you.
This man, I'm trying to...
I was forced to do that.
Daniel, this man has pain that we cannot know because he's a black man.
As black has nothing to do with it.
Well, then, what did you bring up Vietnam for?
Maybe you should give Jeffrey Dahmer another chance.
I'd love to, except he was beaten to death about 7 years ago.
I realize that.
So that's
nobody
not going to happen.
Nobody deserves a third chance when it comes to child molestation.
I agree with Daniel.
He deserves a third chance.
The man is going to be charged with a crime by the Santa Barbara authorities, Dr. Sandler, I should say. And what we need to do is figure out, quite frankly, how perhaps an individual like this can escape apprehension.
And escape apprehension? It's the very fan base of Michael Jackson, you, Phil, and you, Daniel, that forced his hand down the shorts of every young child because...
Are you going to get on that kick again that it was my fault?
Well, Daniel, you're a fan of his, aren't you?
How can you say it's the American people's fault?
Aren't you... Don't you know a Michael Jackson song that you're fond of?
What about... Okay, according to you...
I like that
song. He came up with that song, Cop Killer.
No, you fool. That wasn't him. That was that Ice-T jackass.
Right. I take that back.
Michael Jackson did the song, You Know I'm Bad, Get On It. You know that one, right?
No, I was talking about the song. Michael didn't do the song, but that Cop Killer. If people start going out and shooting cops, are you going to blame the guy that did that song?
All I'm saying, Michael, is if you like a Michael Jackson song, you shoved your hand down a Boy Scout shorts. Thank you and good night.
Well, you need to learn to,
listen to, this.
Learn to be punished for what they do.
Absolutely.
They need to answer for that. They need to answer to their actions.
You're absolutely right, Daniel. And Michael Jackson will be, if he's guilty, will be brought to justice. Thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-800-449-86. Thank you and good night. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Get back on the phone, okay?
Why?
Because you're still on the phone.
I thought it was a very dramatic way of leaving your show, and what do you want to push it for?
Well, then why don't you hang the phone up, man? Thank you and good night. And then you leave the phone down so we can hear what it sounds like?
Screw you. What do you want?
I want to keep talking about this. I've got a couple of more minutes on this subject of Michael Jackson's alleged behavior being the fault of everybody else. That's all. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. First of all, it's a total cop-out to say that it's everybody else's fault. And second of all, a few years ago, when somebody didn't know the magnitude of their own actions, they were considered not guilty by reason of insanity. But now they're considered guilty but insane, and those people go to mental institutions, and that's where Michael Jackson belongs if he doesn't realize what he's doing is wrong.
Good point. Your response, Doctor?
I think that it's... First of all, I'd like to ask both of you gentlemen a question. Who's, of the three of us, who's the doctor? Chris?
You are the doctor, but you're not really sounding very much like a very intelligent doctor
now. Well, yeah, I agree.
Well, but the point is, the point is I'm the doctor.
Yeah.
So where do you guys get off telling me?
Well, you're really stating is your opinion, which is different than my opinion. You're not backing it up with facts.
Exactly.
You're just stating an opinion.
And
so, really, you and I are both on the same plane right now. It doesn't matter that you're a doctor.
I agree with Chris. I mean, just because you say you're a doctor.
But the fact of the matter, let me tell you guys a story about Mary Shelley's character, Frankenstein. Frankenstein was a freak created by a mad scientist. One day, Frankenstein escapes from the laboratory and finds a little girl picking flowers and throwing them into a pond. If you saw the film, you saw this scene where Frankenstein sees the little girl throwing something beautiful into the pond. So he himself wants to throw something beautiful into the pond, a flower, if you will. But it's the little girl that he chooses to throw into the water and thus kills the child. When we come to the end of the story, the villagers with their torches lit are chasing Frankenstein up the hillside to his eventual death at the windmill. Aren't we behaving the same way toward Michael Jackson? A freak, yes. A monster, perhaps. But an innocent man who is being chased by villagers with torches to his death.
No,
thank you, and good night.
I think that's the old King Kong.
Deal.
The old King Kong, Beauty Killed the Beast.
Yeah, the Beauty and the Beast,
and
the whole King Kong
all
thing.
All it's designed to do is to create sympathy from us for him and to excuse the behavior.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you, Chris.
Shove it.
Listen to him, shove it. All right, Chris, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Frankenstein, huh?
You got it.
Hang up your phone or get on the phone.
Sorry.
Dr. Jim Sadler on The Phil Henry Show with Why Michael Jackson Did What He Did. And
Phil, I'd like to tell you a story about Cinderella. So years ago...
Never mind. It's kind of true, though, that we're treating him like the Frankenstein monster, aren't we? We're just chasing him up the hill. Until finally the torches, you know, and he goes off the freaking windmill. I love it when he throws Dwight Frye over the edge of the thing. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Dr. Jim Sadler was performed by me and the people who called unprompted and unpaid callers who believe Dr. Sadler to be a real human being. That's our show, and that's our sin. That's our crime, really. That's the cross we bear. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And our show yesterday was Austin Amarca. He is the owner of Amarca Motors. He is telling you to get your car ready for wintertime, whether it's the draining of the fluid or the new motor oil, but please don't ever make the mistake of asking the man at the service bay, when's the car going to be ready? Because they actually pretend like they're deaf. They actually give training to their service guys to pretend like they're deaf, so they pretend like they can't hear what you're saying.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I kind of wondered how you stay in business for 2 winters.
Yeah, well, come on down to California and I'll teach you a thing or two.
I run a shop up in Canada here. I got no problem with you know, if that's the way you want to run your shop, that's fine.
Do you service those Japanese cars?
We service anything and everything. All our customers are the same. They're treated all the same with respect.
Well, wait a second. Let me ask you something. Are you a mechanic?
Yep.
And you're the owner of the shop, huh?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask you something. I'd be curious to know this. 18 times some housewife says, when's my car going to be ready? When's my car going to be ready? You need to learn how to talk like a deaf guy, and I'll tell you why.
No, you don't. You know what you got to do?
What's that?
You got to learn to respect her.
Well, what's
if you turn around and say, you know, ma'am, well, once I check it out, I'll let you know. That's all they're asking for.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. If you go, I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
I don't see what you're saying.
Well, if you talk deaf, then they're not going to bother you.
Why would you want to talk deaf when you got to...
Why would you show them that kind of disrespect? Do you think they're going to come back?
It's way more polite sounding.
What are they going to do? They're going to turn around to you and say, oh, well, I'm not taking my car there. He's a deaf guy.
Oh, that's great.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
Who do you think is more prejudiced, me or some person that don't like no deaf guy? Deaf, dumb, and blind.
Would you like me to answer that?
I can act deaf, dumb, and blind, and they won't bother me.
And the guy just said they won't bring their car to you either. Why the hell do they want to bring their car to be serviced by a blind guy?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't fill me with a whole bunch of confidence.
What's the matter? You guys prejudice?
Wait a second.
Prejudice, huh?
What do you mean prejudice? I don't want to have a blind guy working on my car.
So you're prejudiced. Yeah, get your way out of that one, Ken. So you're racist against blind guys. Hey, Ken, here's an easy way to sound deaf. Grab a hold of the tip of your tongue and answer any question I ask you. How you doing, Ken? And then you'll go, I'm fine. See?
Yeah, but you know what? I get repeat customers, so I don't got to worry about acting like a deaf guy.
Yeah, your customers repeat themselves. You're right.
No, repeat customers, as in they come back for more business.
Oh, okay.
Look, Ken, thank you.
Our head cashier, Carl.
I can't understand how come you treat people like this. If they're putting it, they're putting like they're paying for your house. They're paying for your cars.
Paying for my house. I'm joking. Look, one of our head cashiers, Carla, sometimes she pretends she's blind when someone asks her, where's the service bay? And she'll say, Jesus, I couldn't tell you.
We are letting this girl count your money and
this
she's
is,
blind?
Yeah, no kidding, man. Unbelievable. Ken, thank you for your call.
Remember, Ken, grab the tip of your tongue and say something, and you'll sound like a deaf guy, like this.
Yeah, my name is Austin and Laka.
I figure within about 90 days, you'll have lots of time to practice that all your own.
Okay, pal, we'll see who's open in 90 days from now. And guess what? My money's worth more than yours, so...
No, it isn't. Canadian money's worth more.
My ass.
No. Anyway, thanks, Ken. 1-800-449-8686. And
go ahead, try it.
Try what?
Mr. Henry, I am telling you that we are so busy, I don't want to put people off. So when they ask a question, I sound like a deaf guy. And the way to do it is to hold the tip of your tongue. Now go ahead, do it.
Mr. Amarka.
Oh, come on. I'm just a guest on your program. Please humor me.
All right. Ask me a question.
What's your name?
Phil Hendy. Jesus. It ain't that funny, okay?
Oh, no, it ain't that funny.
Phil Henley.
Man, that's kicks. That's kicks. Hey, Phil, you sound like Lou Ferrigno.
Hi, I'm a carnival house.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm appalled by the audacity of this woman. Number one.
What audacity to have a man staring at you.
I...
Like you're a piece of garbage.
Oh, please. Have you never looked at a guy? Are you dead?
Excuse me. Do you like men staring at you and then licking their lips?
Who
so you
cares?
Like, you like that, huh?
I no, it's not that I don't like it, but I certainly wouldn't become so obsessed about it that I would go and throw a drink in a man's face.
I think it's rude. I think it's insulting. I'm a wife and a mother. I don't know about you.
I'm a wife and a mother, too, and I will not allow you to insult me like
I
you
was,
did the last caller.
I was being victimized, and
victimized.
I am a victim here.
Oh, that... Listen, I...
Victimized? I mean, what...
excuse me, Phil. Women are treated like crap.
Why do you cut Phil off? Why do you cut him off?
Instead of your business, I'm talking to him. Now, what's your point?
My point is, I think that you're very arrogant. I think you're out of line. And numbers, and I hope I don't get caught. I have a hard time believing that you're a female.
That man sodomized
me. I don't believe that you're a female.
Let me tell you something. Well, I don't believe you're a female. So
I am.
There we are. Well, I am, too. That man sodomized me with his eyes.
Look, you do have a rather low voice.
I had a 30-year smoking habit, if that makes any difference.
Oh, dear. Well, then you're absolutely imperfect.
Well, you know, Judy, where do you live?
I live in Boynton Beach, Florida.
Boynton Beach, Florida. Well,
you betcha. Former Rochesterian.
Well,
so I'm not
fan
a
my brow. And what do you do there, darling? You go down to the ABC Liquor Lounge for the 49-cent special?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, and you're attacking females. Well, shame on you.
I'm doing what?
Shame on you. Anybody who differs with you, including Phil,
oh,
or
Judy,
other
quit
females,
around the
you trivialize and treat them like moronic idiots.
Well, because you don't
shame
know...
Shame on you.
You don't know what I went through. Treated like a whore.
And I can imagine that Cloris Leachman, if you were really with Cloris Leachman, I could imagine she could have felt like crawling underneath the table, because I assure
absolutely
you that's exactly
not
what I would have
absolutely
wanted to do.
Not. I was with Cloris. She's a very dear friend.
Yes.
She laughed her ass off.
Yeah.
She laughed.
Again, as a female,
oh,
a female, I'm
what
a bore.
You. What a
behavior.
Bore you are. You're a bore.
All right, look, ladies, the only thing
you,
that
Phil.
I would, the only thing that I would say here is that you are insulting the intelligence of women by saying, I don't know what it is you're saying, Margaret.
Frankly, I don't know what I'm saying either. I was clear, and now I'm foggy.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America.